Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to Osage this morning. I really like this song that we're about to sing. If it's convenient for you, I'd like for you to stand with me to sing this song, by the way. I tend to be the type of fellow that always focuses on my failures, and I like to kick myself around, and I want you to listen to the words of this song. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through a shadow, seems like a shadow is always over me, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. This is called The Battle Belongs. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs.
seated. I won't make you stand up.
Amen. Good morning, Osage. How you doing? Ain't God good?
All the time.
All the time. Got a few announcements need to make this morning. Still collecting North American missions, so don't forget to tithe to that. We'll have a guest speaker this morning. We'll let them introduce them here shortly. Also, don't forget business meeting this afternoon, 6 o'clock. So if you want to know what's going on, show up, and we'll let you know. Also, don't forget the baby shower table in the back for the Allens. And Awana and youth will be going on at 6 this Wednesday. Put on your calendar, April 9th, one day serve. Anybody want to tell us a little more about that? Nobody? No, anybody have a clue? Anybody know what that is? What are we doing? You got? No, I don't know. Just plan on it. Because I had to ask Margo. I said, I don't know. So, but we'll figure it out. Also, April 29th, Women's Conference at First Baptist in Harrison. More to come on that. So look at your calendar and see if you'll be available to go with that. And also, we checked the calendar. We're going to look at May 1st to be doing Senior Sunday for seniors. So if anybody's got a senior you want to involve in that, please get with me, and we will celebrate on our seniors. Read something this week I wanted to read real quick. This is from a farmer in Texas, and I read this, and I thought it was a pretty neat deal. So he wrote, "A rattlesnake bit one of my sheep in the face about a week ago. Deadliest snake that lives around here. The sheep's face swelled up and hurt her terribly. But the old rattlesnake didn't know the kind of blood that flows through the sheep. Anti-venom is the most often made from sheep's blood. The sheep swelled for about 2 days, but the blood of the lamb destroyed the venom of the serpent. I was worried about the sheep. She didn't care. She kept on eating, kept on drinking, kept on climbing because she knew she was right. Often the serpents of our life reach out and bite us. They inject the poison into us, but they cannot overcome the blood of the Lamb, of God that washes away the sin of the world and the sting of death. Don't worry about the serpent or his bite. Just make sure that the Lamb's blood is flowing through your veins." So let's pray. Grace, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord, and just thank you for every soul that is here today. Lord, we just thank you for the blessings that you've given each one of us. Lord, just ask you to be with us this time. Lord, speak to our hearts. And Lord, as we sing praises to you, we ask all this in precious Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us?
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere. For my name, if my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, when will he hear? If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere. I'll be
I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Amen. You sound good this morning.
Who else commands all the host of heaven? Who else could make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice? Only a holy God. Come and behold Him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. What other glory consumes like fire? What other power can raise the dead? What other name remains undefeated? Only a holy God. Come and behold Him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing glory, forever the holy God. Come and worship the holy God. Who else could rescue me from my failing? Who else would offer His only Son? Who else invites me to call Him Father? Only a holy God. Only a holy God. Come and behold Him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. Come and behold Him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke Your name into the night. Then through the darkness, Your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
heart could fathom such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe, and out of the silence the roaring lion declared the grave had no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe, and out of the silence the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope.
Amen, amen. Amen. As you can see this morning, Brother Lanny and Mike are gone. So we want to keep them in our prayers along with our guest speakers. So let's do that as we sing our final song here this morning.
On a hill far away stood an old...
Wait a second. I made a mistake. I know I'm going to mess everybody up. Sorry about that. That's my bad. Okay. I wonder why they were. All right. There we go. All right.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy will cling to the old promise.
rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last. Will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last. Will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. You may be seated. Rhonda, you want to come on up? Okay. You sure can. Children's, what about children? Oh, children's church. We need to dismiss children's church. I was going to do it. I promise. We have some guest speakers this morning from Informed Choices, so we're going to give the floor to them.
Good morning, Osage Baptist Church. Thank you for allowing us to come and speak to you all today and share our hearts of what we do at Informed Choices. My name is Missy Elmore. For the past 2.5 years, I have been blessed to be the nurse at Informed Choices. We are a crisis pregnancy center, which is a center for men and women who have planned or not planned a pregnancy. My ministry at the center is to provide compassionate care for those who are in crisis. So I would like to share with you what our clients experience when they come into my clinic room. In this first picture, you will see the subwaiting area. There we are. That is where the family will wait while the client is with me. And so we made this, so they're not in the front room and everything. We just have a little room to the side, giving them privacy. The next picture is the hallway going into my room. As I enter my clinic room, that one right there is where I do the intake with the client. I tease her and I say, this is where I'm going to ask 20,000 questions. And she laughs, and that just sort of breaks the ice between the two of us. The next picture is to the right, and this is where I perform the limited ultrasounds that we do. And we have a TV up on the wall where they can see their babies. I also have a lab where pregnancy and STD testing is done. Oftentimes, my clients are confused, unsure about the unexpected pregnancy she is facing. What will her parents, her husband, or her boyfriend think? What is the medical care? Insurance? What should I do next? The list goes on and on, as many of you may know or may have experienced yourself. The girls are lost and scared. She's facing an unplanned pregnancy. I really am here to hear her story, to help her hopefully answer the many questions that are flooding her mind at that moment. The test confirms what she was thinking. She is shocked and frightened. She talks. I listen. I listen some more. And finally, her mind settles down and she listens as I share things she needs to know regarding her pregnancy and what to do next. Near the end of her visit, I have the opportunity to pray with her. Following one of my prayer times, I looked up. Tears were flowing down her cheeks. She shared she has never been prayed for before and thanked me for praying for her and her baby. Tears were running down my face, and this is a moment of time in my life I will never forget. I cherish that time. And at this time, I would schedule her next appointment for a limited ultrasound. I usually try to schedule them around 10 weeks gestation. However, I have had times when I have needed to perform an ultrasound at the earliest of 4 to 6 weeks gestation following conception. This being the very earliest we can see her baby by an abdominal ultrasound. This ultrasound is usually performed for the client who is needing answers to her questions quickly, if she is pregnant or not. Sometimes seeing her baby and her baby's heartbeat will change her mind from having an abortion. As I conclude my time sharing with you, I would like for you to see the wondrous works of our Lord, the creation of life. My first slide is of a 6 to 7 weeks gestation baby. At this age, a baby is known to be in the embryonic period. This is the time when the formation of all the important systems of the babies occur. Look at this picture. First, I want to share that the heartbeat is already detected at 4 weeks following conception. Here, we are at 6 to 7 weeks. The large reddish bulge in the baby's heart is the baby's heart. You'll see that right in the center of it. It's in the very early stages of development. The bump in the upper area of the baby's head will become the baby's brain. Do you see the curvature in the baby's back? The spinal cord is growing faster than the organs, so this is why you see it more defined. In due time, it will fill in just perfect. The next picture is of a 7 weeks gestation baby. This is the baby God is creating. You're looking at life at 7 weeks. So let's look at this baby a little closer. She already has facial features which are visible, including a mouth and a tongue. The baby even has eyelids which have begun to form. Look at the hands and the feet. They are like little pads. And she is almost an inch in length, which is the size of a large lima bean. How amazing is this? So when you look at lima beans, you're going to think of a 7 to 8 week old baby. Lima beans will never be the same, will they, ladies? I would like to share a verse with you, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. At the 8 weeks, the baby is no longer in the embryonic period of life. It is now known as a fetus, which stands for little one. The next picture is of a 10-week gestation baby. This little one is sensitive to touch, squints, swallows, frowns, and puckers up, moves around very freely, and even stretches. The mom cannot feel her baby moving around at this time, but the baby is active. I have seen babies, no joke, like they are doing jumping jacks, moving their arms and their legs and everything, like they're dancing. I laugh and I look at the mama and I say, who's the dancer in the family? Look, you can now see their fingers and her toes. The baby is about 2.5 inches in length. My last picture is the little one at 12 weeks gestation. See how beautifully the little one has grown? The baby is now 3.5 inches in length. And at the end of the week, all the baby's vital organs and body parts are in place. And to think, and it breaks my heart, at this time in the state of Arkansas, a little one such as this can face death and not even have a chance to live, because abortions are legal up to 20 weeks gestation, and this baby is only 12 weeks gestation. Thank you, Osage Baptist Church, for allowing me to share what I do at Informed Choices. Your donations help us tremendously. On the nursing side, donations help me purchase pregnancy tests, ultrasound supplies, and pamphlets. We do not charge our clients anything. We do not take insurance from them. They come in, and what we can give them is from the what you all donate, we can pass on to them. We have a table set up. If you will have any questions, please do not hesitate to stop by. And at this moment, I would like to introduce Michelle in our video.
Hey, my name is Michelle, and I moved here to Arkansas after a long battle with trauma and addiction. When I first came up here, I was alone. I didn't know anybody, but I wanted to start my life over and better myself. So I began college, and as my first year ended, I had an unexpected thing happened. I found out I was pregnant, and being alone and not yet financially stable was really terrifying. While I was looking up resources in the area, like WIC and things like that, I stumbled across Informed Choices. And I was apprehensive at first because I didn't know any of the women there, and like I said, I didn't know anybody up here, but I knew that I needed help. So I scheduled my first appointment, and over time, it became something that I not only needed, but I wanted. At every appointment, I was greeted with smiles, acceptance, and kindness. During these appointments, I would watch videos on things like infant nutrition and how to set the baby up with a sleeping schedule, things that I would have never known unless I had watched those videos. And through that, I was able to earn points to spend in the baby boutique. And it was there that I got her wipes, her clothes, diapers, just things that I wouldn't have been able to afford on my own. So I wasn't only learning the things I needed to be a good mother, I was able to get, you know, baby necessities. So with the help of Informed Choices, this wasn't a scary experience anymore. And without the donors, it wouldn't be possible. The donors, their compassion and generosity for us women, complete strangers, really affected my life and the way that I thought about things. I lost my faith in God a long time before that, and this program really showed me that God works through other people, and whenever you feel like you're unloved or alone, you never are, and there's always someone there that's willing to help. So because of the program, my daughter now has a crib, a stroller, and most importantly, a happy and confident mom that's ready to give her the world. And I'll be able to finish college now while I'm taking care of her, and that was something that I didn't think was possible. So with the donations, the women at Informed Choices, they really provided an emotional support, a support system that I didn't have outside of there. And whether it was advice or kind words or just an ear to listen, they were always there to help me every step of the way. So with the information, the donations, and the women at Informed Choices, I was able to not only provide me and my daughter with a better future, it gave me a sense of hope that I didn't have before. And so now I'm hopeful for the future, and I'm happy, and I'm excited. And without, you know, the help, I wouldn't be where I am today, and I couldn't be more thankful. So I suggest any girl or woman that feels apprehensive or unsure, I really encourage you to pick up the phone and make that phone call and schedule an appointment, because it'll change your life the way that it changed mine. And because it restored my faith in God, it gave me hope, provided me with support and all the things I need for me and my daughter to be successful in life.
Thank you, church family, for allowing us to be here this morning. We do not take it lightly that pastor gives us a service to speak to you. And I have to be honest, the sheep and serpent story, I mean, that'll preach. We could have went home right after that and said amen, probably. That was amazing. But for me, I love the opportunity to spend this time, not so much to give you a list of facts about what God is doing, but more give testimony. This is a morning of testimony of God's presence in this place, Informed Choices, and what He has done through the lives of women that you saw up there. We have seen over 102 Michelle this year, and it was about 302 visits that was made, and over 679 educational classes given. 3,500 baby resources went to the women that agreed to be mentored throughout the year. 3,500. All of those resources are from churches, just like you all. We exist only because of the people in this room throughout our county. All of the baby resources, which I wish you could come and visit the baby room that I call Little Target, because all of our mamas love Target, hasn't been spent by our budget whatsoever. And I love, love, love to tell every mama that walks down there, because she's earned mama bucks or daddy bucks, I tell each one of them, what you see here is people you will never meet, and they will never meet you, and that you will never know, that God placed on their heart to donate money to make sure that your baby has everything that it needs and that you have everything that you need. And the funny thing is, Michelle talked about having left her faith a long time ago because of things that had gone on in her life since childhood. She's been on her own since she was 16 years old. When we met her, she was 22. But in all the things that we sowed into Michelle's life, because she's been with us 2 years, the thing that turned the corner for her to allow God room for her to believe that He loved her and that He had a plan was the fact that people that didn't know her were giving her and her baby things. It wasn't all the prayers. It wasn't me slipping in Jesus at every moment I could in the conversation. It wasn't all the hugs. As she said on this video, she goes, it was because of the donors that I realized that God cared. Well, donors, because she's not a Christian, she doesn't know church talk. She's talking about you all. What made her heart soften to the Lord possibly caring about her was the strangers giving to her. That blew her mind, and she talked about it every single time she walked in the doors down there to get something. And that just amazes me how God uses things like that to kick open a door, as she said, that I now am going to have faith again. And she's on that process. Just like Missy said, our verse that we lead all the people through that walk through our center is Jeremiah 29:11 for sure. Because when they walk in, they're overwhelmed and fearful, and 80% of them do not have a plan for life or for this baby, or they wouldn't have found us, right? And so when they meet with me, I always lead with, I want to share with you why we exist and who we are, because I want to give you some comfort today. I mean, I don't know where you are on the spectrum of, are you scared to death? Are you nervous? Do you lack confidence? I don't know where you are, but know this, that God wrote a book through men that's a love story to you. And what it says is that I have a plan for you, says the Lord. So rest assured right now, let's all exhale. Even though you don't have a plan, God does. And even if right now you don't believe in Him, we do. So let us believe for you until you can believe. Then I also tell them when they get in the class and they're worried, is I talk about Jeremiah 1:5. And it says, before you were in the womb, I knew you. Now think about that verse if you don't know the Lord. I mean, that verse comes natural to us. We've heard it over and over again. But if you're somebody who doesn't know the God that created you or doesn't believe in the God that created you, for somebody to say, I believe this verse, that before this baby was ever in your womb, the God of the universe knew her. So it's going to be okay. And then I flip to Psalm 139. And again, 8 out of 10 that walk through the room do not know Him. And some, most, intentionally do not want to know Him. I say, let me share something else with you that's amazing. And for you all, I want you to just think back to when you didn't know Him, if that's possible. Unless you were saved during nursery, and that's going to be hard. But think back to when you didn't know how amazing God was. And listen to these verses. And it says, you formed my inner parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I'll give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. And so I say, translation, this baby is not a mistake or an accident. And this baby's not unplanned. God knows the number of days of your baby, even though you don't. So even though your circumstances are very not ideal and scary, they're not for God. So allow us over this journey of walking through your pregnancy and beyond, allow us to support you and do life with you and help you see that God's going to make a way when there isn't any way. So that's our purpose. That's our heart. That's our mission. And as you saw with Michelle, I wish I had time to tell her story. She fits what our heart is, and that is that there is a life change with these women and men, and that there's a heart change with these women and men. They believe when they walk in the door, and it's so fun to watch, they believe they're coming in to confirm a pregnancy test so that they can get started on their WIC paperwork, right, which is very necessary and important. They believe they're there for an ultrasound just to make sure there's actually a baby there, but they're there for so much more than that. That's just the beginning. Because as we share with them that we want to do more than that, we want to mentor you. We have women and men who have set aside time specifically to pour into your life, to educate you on being a mama, to educate you on parenting, to educate you on daily living life skills. and help you get a plan and confidence. Join us, and we'll make sure that your baby and you have what you need. That's where the life change starts, is through mentoring. And if any of us have ever been blessed enough to have somebody come alongside us, which I have, because I believe God knows I need a lot of extra help, but mentors are amazing in our life. Having women and men who have been there and done that and gone farther than we have changes us, grows us. And that's what these young women and men need that's missing in their life. Because like I said, 8 out of 10 of them do not know the Lord. They don't have a church family. They don't have church Bible studies or church showers. Most do not have families that are going to have church showers. We are their shower for their baby. And that happens through God's people who care about the unborn and know that God loves the unborn because He knit every single one of them together. So the life change comes through the mentoring. And then the heart change comes many different ways. For Michelle, like I said, she was a student at Harrison when she got pregnant, and she joined the mentoring program. And slowly you got to see her not only allow me to pray for her and for her to share part of her story of why she left God behind, but as we went on and we're in 6 month and 7 month of pregnancy, not only does she allow me to pray for her, but she starts giving me things to pray for. And then we went from giving me things to pray for to her texting me and saying, what does God think about this? So today, she's at the University of Arkansas. She's a 4-point student. Her baby's 1.5 years old. And she drives 2 hours once a month to come to our class because it's important to her. Just this last month, she texted me saying, I don't know how to pray about something. So I texted her out how to pray about it. And then I called and prayed with her over it. And then 2 weeks later, she sent me a text and she said, I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense. But I am moved out with my baby and I'm living on my own. So here we have a lost young lady asking how to pray, who is making decisions like somebody who knows the Lord. Her heart is changing to care what God thinks about situations. That's what we're about. That's what we want all of the women to do. And then like Missy stated, just with the ultrasounds, some of the women don't choose to mentor, but you can rest assured, especially the abortion-minded, when they walk in, that the Holy Spirit uses Missy in such an amazing way to turn a heart that fully believes that they have to have an abortion, there is no other way, that through those 1,000 questions that Missy has to ask, that they feel and they know that Missy cares about their story. And one young lady in particular came in very confused, but asking a lot of questions about abortion, going through her story about, well, I really don't have any other choice. This is what my boyfriend wants. He's very angry at me. I know he will leave. My grandpa gave me $500. It's in my pocket right now. So she gets an ultrasound, and through that entire ultrasound, we have somebody praying for her and over her. Missy's doing the ultrasound. By the end of that ultrasound, y'all, she's saying, I can't kill this baby. What am I going to do with this $500? To which Missy says, give it back. Give the money back. So that level of hopelessness, even when they don't choose to mentor because they live an hour away and barely made it to Missy, even in that room, the Holy Spirit uses that table to make a lost heart choose life. We had 24 abortion-minded women have hard conversations with Missy this year. 92% of them chose life. That's an amazing testimony of God's power within that place. Just last week, we had a 17-year-old teenager come in who's heavy on our hearts right now. She also feeling like there is no other way, that she doesn't see a path forward. And I'm spending a lot of time, Missy and I both, talking to her for a couple of hours about what that path would look like and about the support that she would have and the different options that she has within this baby having life. And keep in mind, this was not a conversation to where we had to do the science talk of it is a baby, it's not tissue. She knew it was a baby. But she had a lot of pressure from a lot of people that meant a lot to her that this baby didn't matter. She did. But she was fearful, you guys, of what it would mean for later. And Missy did an amazing job talking to her about what lies ahead. Because her first question when she walked in the door was, I'm too far along to get a chemical abortion, aren't I? Sad news to that is, yes, you are. It will be a procedure. They will remove your baby piece by piece. So this girl has this heaviness on her, and she leaves with a plan to have the courage to tell her mama, because she was doing this alone, a plan in place, and she walks out the door. Meanwhile, I go speak at another church and talk about abortion and the fact that 1 out of 4 Christian women have had an abortion, and it's a part of their story that they keep hidden and secret, and that Satan uses to hold them down with anxiety and fear and guilt and remorse, and that that shouldn't happen anymore, that these women need to know there's an exit ramp to their pain. In that same week, I had a 76-year-old woman show up at my office before I was even there from that church. 76, y'all. With a 4-page type letter on her story of how she ended the life of her baby 50 years ago. And in that letter that I weeped through, she goes, I hope you can use it. Please don't use my name because my husband won't allow it. But please use this story and help somebody. And so in my mind, my heart breaking for her, I'm like going, Lord, if only that 17-year-old could meet this 76-year-old. Because that's what the 17-year-old was asking. What's going to happen to me after this? Because all I hear is what everybody wants me to do right now. And if only that 76-year-old could use that story to reach the heart of this scared little girl that knows that that baby is hers. Those are the big things going on every week at the center. You know, and I ask you all, just as a church, pray for that girl, because she has not contacted us back yet to talk about the next step forward. And she needs prayer cover to have the courage to do what her heart wants to do and to be brave enough to talk to her mama about it. I'm here because of Sanctity of Life Sunday, which was in January, because God wants the unborn honored, because he's the one that spent the time knitting them together. I tell churches all the time, it is so amazing to me that our Lord Jesus could have come to this earth in any way that he wanted to come, but how did he come? He was an embryo. He was a fetus. He was a baby. That's how Jesus showed up on this earth. That's how... It's just such an honor to me of how much he wanted to be with us and that he started as a child, as a baby. But with that, I want to mention the 64 million babies since 1973 who are in heaven right now. They didn't get their first birthday. They didn't get to go to grade school or get married or have grandkids. 64 million babies didn't make it. And I think God wants us as his people to realize that and to know that they mattered. And for me, because I'm not good with numbers, I was like going, 64 million, how do you gloss over that? How do you visually quantify what that means of what happened? And I want to quickly run through a list of states with me. And I want you to give me a minute to do this. But imagine North Dakota and South Dakota and Wisconsin and Illinois and Indiana and Michigan and Ohio and Nebraska and Missouri and Kansas are gone. Gone. That's 64 million people, and that's 64 million babies that their mamas felt they had no other choice. And why that's important is it helps us to pray fervently for the Roe Wade decision in June to be dismantled, but it also helps us pray for the women right now, this week, the 17-year-old, how to pray for them. And I just want to give you things of how to pray, of what we see that they need. And it goes with a song that God showed me that means so much to me, and it's called In Jesus' Name by Katie Nicole. And if you haven't heard it, it's worth searching for. But listen to these words, and if we come to your mind, if these women, if these teenagers and college students come to your mind that are making a life and death decision, pray this over them. Pray for their healing and their circumstances to change, that the fear inside them would flee in Jesus' name. Pray that a breakthrough could happen today. Pray for a miracle over their life in Jesus' name. Because you guys, if there's anything we've learned in the 3 years, everything happens in that center in Jesus' name. Not in us. We are limited, sometimes speechless, sometimes at a loss all the time. But if it's spoken in Jesus' name, He can penetrate their hearts. He can do the life change and heart change. And your all's investment in it, I can't put value on it because it's lives. And we are so grateful that you guys take the time to take these bottles and you take them home. And hopefully you have grandkids. I talked to one member that walks through the grandkids. Teach your grandkids. Teach your children that putting change in here helps a baby that's not here yet, that doesn't have everything that you do, doesn't have everything you need. Talk about that baby in the womb being God's little person so that we can raise up a generation of children that value life, that value the unborn. Last year, you guys were amazingly generous with 30 bottles, and Pastor asked me to bring 50 today. But thank you for filling them with change and bills and checks, because it doesn't just make a tangible resource difference, but it makes an eternal difference in the lives of these women. And we thank you so, so much.